Next month, as doubtless you know, marks the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of the Normandy landings. For most people, D-Day signifies the beginning of the end of the horror of World War II. But for my next guest, Hilda Gerhardi, who was living in East Prussia at the time, the worst was yet to come. In her recently published book, Helga, she explains how she witnessed the rise of Nazism, her chance meeting with Hitler, and her flight as a refugee from the advancing Russian forces. She's in the studio with me now. Helga, welcome. Does D-Day have any special meaning for you or not?
Well, I think it shows me what has happened, because D-Day is actually celebrating when the Allied forces landed in Normandy, but I was on the other side, and Russia, of course, belonged to the Allied forces, and if the German forces hadn't been divided between East and West, I don't think the war would have finished as quickly as that.
The fighting of the Russians held back the Germans from turning to their west.
Yes, they did. But the difference was that nobody in the West, in Germany, would leave their home when the English and Americans came near to them, because they knew they would get good treatment. Whilst in the East, we were all afraid of the Russians and their atrocities. So as soon as we heard that they were coming near us, which wasn't any official news, because we never got official news whilst we were living there, we just moved. We just started off. And this was in 1944-45, in a very, very severe winter, where we had 10, 15 degrees below zero. So when the Russian forces came near to us, which I heard about only because I was a medical student, and we had to finish with our studies and just work in military hospitals. And the wounded arrived from the Eastern Front in cattle trucks, and half of them were dead, because not from wounds, but because they were frozen. But the ones who were still alive warned us young nurses and said, we have seen what the Russians are doing to the civilian populations, because we reconquered parts which the Russians had occupied, and we ought to move. So at the moment where I started off to leave Königsberg, the town where we lived, I'm afraid all my family were scattered. I've got two more sisters and a brother and my parents, and I went on this track, and it really was a track, all on my own. I just joined a refugee track, and the book I've written, the front cover, exactly shows what this track looked like. It could have been me, the person in the back, because it was so tremendously cold that some women put sacks over their heads and just slits for their eyes, and we just walked in ice and snow trying to get away from the Russians. We even went through a village where they had been before. I can't talk about it, but I did write about it, and I realized then what they can do to the civilian population.
Why did you write the book?
I wrote the book because I could never talk about it, and my family said, if you write, it will make it easier. And once I had written it, sort of a small, you know, just as a manuscript only, they read it and they said, this is a story which ought to be told. I don't think enough people know about what happened in the East. I'm not the only one that suffered. There were thousands and thousands, and I think what you call today called ethnic cleansing was already started in the East when we left from the Russians. And even today, Königsberg, which is a very old German town, is still occupied by the Russians, although East Prussia is Polish, but Königsberg is still Russian, belongs to Russia, called Kaliningrad, because they like to keep it as a port. It's the only port which won't freeze up in the winter, because it leads to the Baltic.
When you see the terrible situations that are going on in the former Yugoslavia or Rwanda, the treks of refugees that are moving around large parts of the world, you must have an immediate empathy with them.
Oh, I feel terribly sorry for them. I just hope that they don't think they will ever be able to get back, because that's what I thought when I left home. I thought, oh, well, this will only be till the end of the war and then I get back again. But we didn't, and I hope the other refugees won't think the same thing. They will have to start somewhere at the beginning again. I was fortunate because my father was Swiss, so of course we were able to get back to Switzerland and start a new life there. But these refugees in Serbia and Bosnia, I don't know what's going to happen to them. They'll probably finish up in a camp, and that is the most horrible thing, to live in a camp.
Did you live in a camp at the end of your trek?
No, we never did. We never did. I was fortunate enough. I found my mother and I even found my father, and we finished up in the derelict radio station. There were just some barracks, and by then the war was finished and the English occupation forces gave us some palliasses so that we could be living in these barracks, and the Swiss embassy promised to get us back to Switzerland as soon as possible, which of course in the end they did. But it was very primitive to live up there. We had to only had a well for water, and the loo was a little hut in the back with a bucket. But we had another winter there. And it was terrible because there was no food, and I used to go and dig up meat, and we used to call it meat, and there were some sort of some kind of food that buried for the animals, and we just had to live on that. Germany was very poor after the war. Everything was terribly destroyed. And, of course, although we were Swiss, it didn't matter, because if you are in a country which is destroyed, you just have to do the best you can.
Your mother gave you a cyanide pill at one stage, didn't she?
Yes. Well, I think when the time came and she heard about it, that the Russians were quite near, she was evacuated from the big town. But me, of course, I had to stay because I was studying medicine. She gave me a very small phial of cyanide, and she said, if anything happens and we can't get together and we can't get out, this is for you to decide what you want to do with it. But she too had heard about the atrocities, and I wore this round my neck all the way whilst I was in the refugee track. Actually, I had it still until I met my husband, or my future husband, and he was the one that took it away from me, and he said, you don't need it anymore.
That's a nice point to end on, because we could talk and talk and talk about the book, but the thing is to read it. It's published by Verona. It's £6.99. It tells the whole of your life. We looked at one small part of your life, and it tells the whole story from your birth to now, virtually. It's called Helga, by Helga Girardi. As I say, it's £6.99. It's published by Verona, and it's available in Smith's and all good bookstores. Helga, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.